Welcome to Words to Live By, a podcast series hosted by the Ronald Reagan Presidential Foundation and Institute. Each week, we will share some of the wit and wisdom of Ronald Reagan. In essence, Words to Live By, made up of radio addresses and speeches he delivered from the 1960s through the 1980s. Everyone loves a good love story, and presidential love stories are no exception. So did George write love letters to Martha Washington? Well, turns out he did. Apparently, Martha destroyed almost all of her correspondences with her husband when he died in 1799. It's believed that she felt crushed by years in the public, and their letters were the only thing in her private life she could control. But three letters escaped her mass eradication, two of which were found beneath a desk drawer after her death. This achingly beautiful missive was penned by her husband during the Revolutionary War and, of course, reflects the style in which language was used at the time. Let's listen.
My dearest, as I am within a few minutes of leaving this city, I cannot think of departing without dropping you a line. Especially as I do not know whether it may be in my power to write again. I go fully trusting in that providence, which has been more bountiful to me than I deserve, and in full confidence of a happy meeting with you sometime in the fall. I retain an unalterable affection for you, which neither time nor distance can change. Signed, your entire George Washington.
Love the way he signs the letter, your entire George Washington. Words that kind of display vulnerability, nuanced with passion. Since we are in the season of Valentine's Day, the theme of our podcast is the love story between Ronald and Nancy Reagan, specifically his expressive and loving correspondence, which began in 1950 and continued throughout their marriage. Here's an excerpt from one of our favorites, written in 1953, from the Sherry Netherland Hotel in New York City, when he was on location for a film. They'd been married for about a year and a half, and their daughter Patty was just a little baby. He's missing Nancy, so he writes to her, not in the traditional, boy, I sure miss you, babe, kind of way, but creates a new scenario where he imagines her joining him at dinner. Full disclosure, this is not Ronald Reagan's voice, but these are his words. He begins describing how they ordered the roast beef, had trouble finding only a half bottle of wine on the elaborate wine list, and then he wrote,
"We walked back in the twilight, and I guess I hadn't thought to put us on paper from there on. Let's just say, I didn't know my lines this morning. Tonight, I think we'll eat here at the hotel, and you've got to promise to let me study at least for a while. I suppose some people would find it unusual that you and I can so easily span 3,000 miles, but in truth, it comes naturally. Man can't live without a heart, and you are my heart. By far, the nicest thing about me, and so very necessary. There would be no life without you, nor would I want any. I love you, the eastern half of us."
When possible, this letter is often on display at the Reagan Library, but in order to protect the integrity of its handwritten beauty, it's protected within the archives. However, our archives hold an abundance of letters, telegrams, and cards from Ronald Reagan to his beloved wife, and a few cards from her to him. Because for holidays, birthdays, and anniversaries, he believed that the best gift he could give her was his heartfelt expression of love and appreciation. So imagine every birthday, holiday, anniversary from 1950, the man born in Tampico, Illinois, who lived above the store, took the time to write to his buddy. Here's an excerpt from one in July 1954. He's on location again and unable to be with Patty and with Nancy for her birthday.
"There is one golden glow warming my soul in this first sunset. I'm 24 hours closer to you. Last night was another one of those nights. Just too beautiful to stand. So tonight, I'll probably be looking at the moon, which means I'll be looking at you. Literally and figuratively, because it lays far to the south of this mountaintop, and that's where you are. That takes care of the literal part. The figurative requires no direction. I just see you in all the beauty there is, because in you, I've found all the beauty in my life."
Here's an excerpt from March 20th, 1955, written from the Atlanta Biltmore. It is so touching. His love for her is so genuine that emotion practically radiates from the page. The nature of filmmaking combined with his role as president of the Screen Actors Guild required regular periods of separation, and he comments on this loneliness. Well, let's listen to how he finds the words.
With all the missing you, there is still such a wonderful warmth in the loneliness, like looking forward to a bright, warm room. No matter how dark and cold it is at the moment, you know the room is there and waiting. It's time to move on to the next town now, and every move is a step toward home and you. I love you so very much, and I don't even mind that life made me wait so long to find you. The waiting only made the finding sweeter. When you get this, we will almost be halfway through the lonely stretch. I love you, Ronnie.
More about letters written from Governor Reagan and President Reagan right after this brief message.
The Ronald Reagan Presidential Foundation is the nonprofit organization created by President Reagan himself and specifically charged by him with continuing his legacy and sharing his principles: individual liberty, economic opportunity, global democracy, and national pride. We must remain vigilant and work together to share these conservative principles with younger generations. Your role is critical to move our mission forward. Thank you for your continued support. Please visit reaganfoundation.org/give. That's reaganfoundation.org/give.
Now, back to the story, and we'll move up to Sacramento and Washington, D.C. And yes, it didn't matter if he was governor, citizen, actor, or president. He always wrote. So, here's an excerpt from the first letter written as governor of California in honor of their 15th wedding anniversary, March 4th, 1967. Now, he's only been governor since January 1st and still took the time to write this tender missive. Let's listen.
My darling First Lady, I'm looking at you as I lie here beside me on this 15th anniversary and wondering why everyone has only just discovered you are the First Lady. You've been the first, in fact, the only to me for 15 years. That sounds so strange. 15 years. It still seems like minutes. They've gone by so swiftly. If I have any regret, it is only for the days we've been apart, and I've had to awaken without you. Thank you for all my life and living and for happiness as complete as one can have on this earth. I love you so much and so much more each day. Signed, your husband.
He didn't always need an occasion. Sometimes he'd just grab a sheet of paper and jot down a little love thought. This one is on his governor's letterhead, undated, sometime around 1971.
Dear Mrs. Reagan, your loving, faithful devotion has been observed these 19, some say 20 years. There are no words to describe the happiness you have brought to the Gov. It is no secret that he is the most married man in the world and would be totally lost and desolate without you. It seemed to me you should know this and be aware of how essential you are in this man's life. By his own admission, he is completely in love with you and happier than even a Gov deserves. With love and appreciation, your In Love Gov.
That In Love Gov sign off, oh, just kills me. So now, let's go to Washington, D.C., the Oval Office, and a man with the weight of the world on his shoulders. It's December 1981. The Russians have imprisoned Lech Walesa in Poland and imposed martial law. The economy is sinking into recession. Fidel Castro is having a field day in the Caribbean. Still, the president has time to write. He begins about recognizing the women in his life and gets to, well, let's listen.
There is, of course, my First Lady. She brings so much grace and charm to whatever she does that even stuffy, formal functions sparkle and turn into fun times. Everything is done with class. All I have to do is wash up and show up. There is another woman in my life who does things I don't always get to see, but I hear about them and sometimes see photos of her doing them. She takes an abandoned child in her arms on a hospital visit. The look on her face, only the Madonna could match. The look on the child's face is one of adoration. I know because I adore her too. There is another gal I love who is a nest builder. If she were stuck 3 days in a hotel room, she'd manage to make it home sweet home. She moves things around, looks at it, straightens this and that, and you wonder why it wasn't that way in the first place. I'm also crazy about the girl who goes to the ranch with me. If we're tidying up the woods, she's a peewee powerhouse at pushing over dead trees. She's a wonderful person to sit by the fire with, or to ride with, or just to be with when the sun goes down or the stars come out. If she ever stopped going to the ranch, I'd stop too. I'd see her in every beauty spot there is, and I couldn't stand that. Then there is a sentimental lady I love whose eyes fill up so easily. On the other hand, she loves to laugh, and her laugh is like tinkling bells. I hear those bells and feel good all over if I tell a joke she's heard before. Fortunately, all these women in my life are you. Fortunately for me, that is, for there could be no life for me without you. Merry Christmas, you all, with all my love.
I think we'll close with a few words from the president in August 1988, just a few months before leaving the presidency. There was a luncheon honoring Mrs. Reagan, and the president shared a few thoughts. Get your tissues handy.
I've known the guest of honor for many years. Well, yeah, that's true. She was once one of the original members of the Reagan Inner Circle. Well, I can't dispute that. Who's been involved in some of the most delicate White House matters, such as high-level staff? Maybe I better do this by myself. In fact, I've been thinking for several days about what exactly I wanted to say today, how to put Nancy's role in my life in a perspective for you. But what do you say about someone who gives your life meaning? What do you say about someone who's always there with support and understanding? Someone who makes sacrifices so that your life will be easier and more successful. But what you say is that you love that person and treasure her. I simply can't imagine the last 8 years without Nancy. The presidency wouldn't have been the joy it's been for me without there beside me. And that second floor living quarters in the White House would have seemed a big and lonely spot without her waiting for me every day at the end of the day. You know, she once said that a president has all kinds of advisors and experts who look after his interest when it comes to foreign policy or the economy or whatever, but no one who looks after his needs as a human being. Well, Nancy has done that for me through recuperations and crises. Every president should be so lucky. I think it's all too common in marriages that no matter how much partners love each other, they don't thank each other enough. And I suppose I don't thank Nancy enough for all that she does for me. So Nancy, in front of all your friends here today, let me say thank you for all you do. Thank you for your love. And thank you for just being you.
Thank you for listening. For more information on the Ronald Reagan Presidential Foundation and Institute, including information on how to become a member, information on upcoming exhibits at the Reagan Library, and more information on the legacy of President Reagan, please visit ReaganFoundation.org. And don't forget to like and follow the Reagan Foundation on all social media platforms.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Words to Live By podcast in your iTunes or Google Play stores and on other podcast platforms as they become available. New episodes of Words to Live By come out every Tuesday. Like what you hear? Check out our a Reagan Forum podcast featuring great speeches delivered at the Reagan Library. New episodes drop every Thursday. And don't forget to follow at Ronald Reagan on Facebook, at Ronald Reagan 40 on Twitter, and Reagan Foundation on YouTube. Also, search for us on SoundCloud and Stitcher.